Hi everyone, this is Waylina, and I'm here to talk mostly about free and open source software for planetarium content production. Welcome to FossDome. Today is Sunday, March 14, 2021, and this is Episode 1, State of the Open Sources. For those who don't already know me, my name is Waylina McCulley, and I've been working in Planetaria for many years now. I've been using free and open source software for production since 2000, and that's long before we converted to digital full dome. I promise to tell that story sometime in the future. But for now, I want everyone to know that show notes for the episode can be found on my blog, fossdome.com. And I'll make sure to leave links for anything I mention in the episode. So, what have I been up to lately? Well, this is March 2021, and sadly, my planetarium is currently still closed to public and groups, and I've been honestly working for another area of the college. Now, I have been able to spend a bit of time on planetarium work here and there, and recently, that included online celebrations of the missions to Mars, especially the landing of the Perseverance rover. Now, part of that included creating some fun videos for the William M. Starkle Planetarium YouTube channel. I used, I used Audacity, Blender, GIMP, OpenShot Video Editor. Now, my director, Eric, he recorded his segments, and then I worked on them from my computer at home, and I recorded mine from at home. Now, my segments were three videos in which I demoed using Blender along with 3D resources from NASA. It was a lot of fun, and I hope that you will check them out if you haven't already. So, on to the main topic. The state of the open sources. More of an overview of some applications that I've found to be most useful, really. I do lean very heavily toward FOSS packages that are multi-platform because I do use both Windows and Linux. I like using Linux because I can better control the overhead. I can better control how much of the computer's power is directed toward the operating system versus the software that I'm trying to use on that operating system. And I kind of got used to it and I kind of think it's fun. So here are some of my favorite software packages. First up, of course, Blender. Anyone who knows me knows that I am a diehard Blender user. It isn't merely a 3D modeling program. Nope. Sure, there's 3D modeling, but there's compositing, there's texturing, there's all sorts of effects, there's editing, there's so much more. And, what started as nodes for shaders and compositing has grown tremendously. I mean, we've got animation nodes, we've got geometry nodes, incredibly powerful stuff. You're going to be hearing a lot about that from me, and maybe hearing about some of my favorite tutorials on the subject too. Okay, so we've got Blender. Next up is GIMP. And GIMP is for image manipulation. And honestly, when it comes to time spent at the computer, I probably spend more time working with GIMP than any other software. Now, image manipulation tools might not sound exciting, but GIMP is an absolute workhorse. It really is. And of course, you know, a lot of people are used to the commercial alternative, and that's awesome. I do have access to that now, but I still find it easier to work with GIMP. Next up, Inkscape. Oh, I love Inkscape for vector graphics. Vector graphics are wonderful. You zoom in and you don't get pixels. You just keep zooming in. So you get clean lines and edges for illustration work. They're so scalable, so versatile. Oh, I love it. And illustrations that are saved as SVG files, which is the format that Inkscape saves to. They can be used for print, for web, for video, and even used as 2D models and then extruded in Blender to make 3D models. Oh, it's wonderful. It really is. Krita. Now, I always pronounced it Krita, but I recently found that it's supposed to be called Krita. It's K-R-I-T-A. It's mostly for image manipulation and for tablet drawing, so art creation. And if I were a 2D artist, I would never leave home without this one. And, you know, if I were starting out and thought, okay, I just want to learn one image manipulation software, and I had to choose between Krita and GIMP, I don't know, I'd probably go with Krita because it has so much more power. But I am more accustomed to GIMP, so it's my automatic go-to. But Krita is just amazing for its power. So do check that out. Next on my list, Image Magic. Yes, Image Magic. So what can I say about Image Magic? Okay, most of the time, I don't need Image Magic. But when I do, when I do need Image Magic, I really need Image Magic. So it's a set of command line tools for image processing of large batches of files. So, you know, if I suddenly need to convert 50,000 PNG files to JPEG, yes, it is my go-to. Here's one that if I talk about GIMP and or Krita, I need to talk about GMIC. GMIC, G'MIC. And it's a set of image processing tools. It can be run from the command line as a standalone piece of software, but I prefer to install the plugin versions for GIMP and Krita so I can use it from within their interfaces. It's incredible, and you can just, playing with all the different filters and effects, you can just fall into a black hole on that. It's wonderful. Next on the list, Audacity. I use it for audio recording, editing, some degree of processing, and something that I've done a lot recently is I use it to grab audio from a video that we've recorded, one of us speaking. I then fix the audio up, export it to a WAV file, and then in video editor, I recombine it with the video, and it syncs very nicely. Let's see, a few more here on the list. We've got Scribus for desktop publishing. Now, this one I haven't used in a while, but I do need to mention it because I love it. It's a really nice step beyond what a word processor can do in terms of layout for print. And I mentioned word processor. Well, that brings me to LibreOffice. LibreOffice was a fork of the older OpenOffice project, and it is my go-to offline office suite. So I mostly use the word processor, the slide presentations, and the spreadsheet. I think I have one more on the list here. Oh yes, OpenShot Video Editor. It's got lots of nice features, and it's quick and easy to learn. And I found that it worked great in a recent set of videos that we made for celebrating the Mars landings because I was able to set up, not officially a template, but it pretty much worked as a template. And I was just able to put in our different clips and pieces and parts and different credits and things, and it worked out great. And a lot of times, though, I will use the video editor built into Blender. But it was kind of nice getting to know a new piece of software. All right, so I'll be honest, there are plenty of other packages that I use, but this was plenty to mention in a first podcast, especially since, as we all know, no one actually listens to the first podcast from someone. But yeah, I know I haven't mentioned OBS or Ardor or VLC or Stellarium or OpenSpace. So, okay. That does it for this episode. This has been fun. You know what? We should do it again next week. In the meantime, check out FossDome, FossDome.com for links to these free and open source software tools. Thanks for listening. Be well. Be creative. Be Foss.